especially in the holiday seasons. You know, great music is around there and participating in it. And then also, you know, for when I'm working with my community choir, it's, you know, how do we empower them? When I, and because I teach music and theater, it's that aspect of helping people make those connections. And so I really do find that teaching puts me in my power.
You know, you also, Alan, when you say you're a theater teacher, boy, isn't that great for mediumship? Because what you're doing in mediumship is you're taking on a role and you're really living at the walk the talk, boy. Because you're really, right? You really do. So much, it's kind of, in some ways, easier for you to understand the work. So that's good. So so I like pets, music, teaching, say, choir.
Right.
And so those are your passions.
Right.
Fantastic. And you tried one each day?
Well, but just by default, it's my work, so I didn't really have to try. I just did it.
Do you have any trouble when you try to get into the power? Have you had any trouble with that?
It's not so much getting into the power; it's sustaining it for longer periods of time. That is where it's like, okay, so I can feel the sort of ebbs and flows of being in the power, but it's like, how do we keep that going and sustaining it so that it keeps us keeps me sustained?
So that's a great question. I for years I lived in Laguna Beach, 17 years, and I'm not a surfer. Love surfers, but I'm not a surfer. I said to Spirit one day as a stoplight, I said, "Why would you be in Laguna Beach?" And they said, "Look at the ocean." I'm like, "And the surfing." I'm like, "You got to learn how to catch a wave." I'm like, "So it is mediumship is waves, that next wave, that excitement, that thing that brings you up." The thing that helps me out is enthusiasm. And again, it's different for each person, but you get this. How is you're going to be, you just mentioned it, the choir, how what you're going to do is going to change their life in such a positive way. The influence that you're going to have from this message, from this reading, this person, oh my goodness, you're going to change their whole perspective. And just think about it. Then they're going to tell somebody, and they're going to tell somebody. That you can change many, many people's lives. That's exciting alone. So that's great. That's enthusiasm. So anything that brings enthusiasm. So I think you got it. I think you did the exercise. I think you got the idea of the exercise. Good. So when you're feeling low, you know, as Mary Poppins, a little sugar, think of the, no, it's not music. When I feel bad, think of the things. You're a music teacher, I'm sorry. That make you happy. It's really true. I do that in the simplest of ways. Whether I'm in a meeting, like I do a lot of meetings in Hollywood and TV and stuff. And these people are, some of them are just like zombies, just sit there. And I just completely break the pattern by saying something ridiculous. And I make sure I get their attention. I say, well, look at how beautiful that tree is outside that window. Imagine what it's like being a leaf on the tree. Well, just think about it, expand yourself. Something ridiculous sometimes always will grab their attention. And sometimes I'll do it with a reader, some of them, a recipient. I'll say something completely off the mark. And they're like, huh? And it changes things up a bit, and then we get back into it. So the really thing is that you have to enjoy what you're doing. So when you do a reading, you should be enjoying it. And your recipient has to know that you're enjoying it. I recently was sent an audition tape by somebody. She was giving a reading. I didn't know who was the dead one. I was like, "Hi, dead, dead." Like, what? It was like, "Hello, yes, I have a lady here." And she's like, "Excuse me, where's the joy here? You know, you're bringing love. You got to express love in a different way." Just expressing that passion, that power, and that enthusiasm. And just remember, like you just said, you know this. It's just, it comes in waves. And just be patient for that next excitement that comes. Mm-hmm. Good. Right. Who else in the December assignment we did?
We had Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Can you see me?
We see you very well. You look like you're like braced up.
Yeah, I can't. I don't have a visual on myself here, so I.
Okay, we see your prettiness, so that's what matters. Okay.
Is that any better?
You're fine, baby. You can just
play more. Okay. Yeah, I did. It was a good exercise because I've been in a funk. My husband passed away, and it's been very hard. So it was good to have a list of saying, today go do this. You know, today go do this.
What was your list made up of? Do you remember?
It was go to the beach, which I loved.
Okay. Where do you live? Do you live in the beach?
I live in Monterey.
Monterey, okay.
So
it was Monterey.
It was easy to go down, and it was always just, you know, that grounding with nature and the waves, and just that was wonderful. And if I'd go walking, that was being in my body. So that was great. I also went to live choral performance, which was wonderful. Just the energy of the and the creativity of this whole group of singers and acting as one, and you know, so that was lovely.
Let me interrupt you by just a second, Michelle Brown, too, and another music. Next time you go see a choral group or a chorus, besides hearing the music, try to see the colors that each one went with, the different notes that the colors come out, because on the other side, when you go to a concert on the other side, they often will speak about the different colors that come from the musicians playing the music, but also the singers. And it sets up not only individual aura colors, but a group aura. So try in some way for you guys to discern that. That's a fun exercise.
Thank you. And it was the conductor was doing his own interpretation at this one song, and it was very jazzy, in true sense, where it was a lot of the notes were not what you expected, you know, it went all over the place.
Great.
And so it was a wonderful experience of how am I taking this in my body, you know, how am I experiencing it, because it's not conventional, you know, it didn't fit in a box. So how did each note feel as it?
What does each note do to your body?
And just getting together with groups of friends, going out to dinner. I also have a support group, so just being together with them, that again is a whole different experience in terms of energy, but very nurturing, caring. You know, I get to support them, they get to support me. So it was really important to remember to do something like that every day, to really get aligned again with my energy.
What else do you love to do?
What else do I love to do? I'm very energetically focused. So I love, I've started back into Reiki. I taught it for many years all over the country. And so I'm starting to get back into that now. And I find it's interesting. I find getting in my power feels very much like when I'm getting in the power with Reiki.
Similar, very similar.
It's that passive and receptive. For me, it feels very passive and active, you know, or for me, I say receptive.
Actively it's passive, very, I think would be,
Yes, very, very much the same. And I feel very much when I'm in it, and it even feels sometimes like it just comes.
God, I'm busy.
like it's just sort of, sometimes it just drops in. And actually, when I would, part of the reason I decided to do this mediumship is that when I would do Reiki, relatives would come in.
Right.
And because I guess I was open and at a vibration that the relatives of the person who was receiving would want to take the opportunity to communicate with them. So
yeah, the door is always open, but when you walk to it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting that's come back into my life. I let it go for like 15 years and it's coming back in now.
And so, what about art? Did you do artwork?
Surprisingly, I'm a photographer, so I express it in photography. Recently, I went on a retreat to Costa Rica, and part of that retreat was painting. And I have never thought of myself as a painter, but I did this activity from a very much guided place. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing what came forth. It was very meaningful. It was a very much of a shadow and light picture that was painted. You know,
I ask that because your husband's standing behind you. Is it an easel or the thing you hold the paints with? What do you call that thing? You have the paints on it? You hold it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. The oh, my God.
So he's obviously guiding you with painting, with doing that expression.
Oh. It was, I was blown away. I have never thought of myself as a painter, but when I just let my guidance say, which color do I want? What do I want to do with what stroke went here? When it was finished, I was amazed that it looked like something and that it was meaningful.
And you know, also something about painting, which I don't know if you guys have heard from me before, but you know, painters, when they paint and create and the colors that they use, the person will usually be attracted to that painting. Let's say it's on sale. they'll buy a painting, which for some reason those colors have to vibrate within their being, that they need the healing.
Yes. And that was, the retreat was a disaster, but
in some ways, but in other ways it was enriching, right?
but the art was actually telling me part of what was going on in that experience.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Lots of changes for you, Michelle. Lots of big changes coming up. Real good. Keep yourself focused. You know, I'm going to tell you one thing, and I know you read a lot more. I hope it made you feel good. That, again, I know I repeat myself a lot with different, I speak to so many people. But, you know, when the people pass out of our lives, like a partner, friend, parent, family member, the dead never go without leaving gifts behind. And I know that your husband left with a lot of gifts. And we have to have some sense of courage and faith to open up the box and look inside and see what they left us. And many times it's obviously a soul, that soul connection and that soul commitment, I guess you would say, or destiny that, you know, you go first this time and I'll help you from the other side and you're going to finish up your journey here, but I'll be helping you from over here. And that's exciting because now you can communicate with them on a whole different level.
Yeah, I thought it would be more exciting than it is, but it's definitely so.
Wasn't he excited? Was he an exciting guy on earth, or was it kind of just like black and white and facts?
No, he was wonderful. He was full of humor. Just we traveled. We did all sorts of fun things together. I was more the energy person.
Okay. So maybe every morning you can just write down, have a journal and just write down and just say, just tune in and just open up the mind and let them drop a thought by sending out the intention or question. Honey, what are we going to learn today? What are we going to do today? And then let them write something.
So I do have a question.
That's popped into my head. Yes.
Does that keep him from doing what he's supposed to do?
No. Free will. They don't have to, they're not slaves to us. You know, when you leave the body, you're in several places at once. It's a very different type of existence. He doesn't have to be with you if he didn't want to, but he loves you. That's why he's here. I mean, I've said very clearly. And I didn't even open myself up, so that's he's strong.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't hold the back at all. No.
Okay. Well, I like the idea of playing together.
I think it's great. Yeah, I love it. I played together with a lot of my friends on the other side. I have more friends over there than here. Who else on December wants to the exercise? Yes, Donna. Oh, we have to meet Donna.
Hold on. Well, I think Edward was next, and then we'll go to Donna. Hi. Edward, do you still...
Edward. Okay.
Okay, hello.
Hello, Edward. How's Canada?
How's Canada? Well, I can only speak for the foggy portion that I'm living in. It's great. It's great right here.
Okay.
The exercise was very surprising. When I sat down to do it, I wrote down writing, and I wrote down being with my beloved Kira, and then I went completely blank. And I sat with that blankness. She kept trying to help me, but I sat with that blankness for 3 days before things actually started to come up. And one of the things that helped was the exercise of, you know, pretend you're a person in spirit, you know, for a day and walk through your life. So I walked through the old and second growth forests around here and walked with the dogs and went to the beach. And I realized there was actually a lot I was passionate about. It was surprising to find that, you know, wasn't coming like a tidal wave of passion for me. So.
Okay, you really haven't done it before, but it's just to put your mind into a space that you're aware that you love things to do, that feed your soul. Mm-hmm. And passionate things, and passion is love, and passion is your power. And when we get into that space of, and it's hard for a lot of people, because some people feel they don't deserve love. On whatever level, some people might feel they don't deserve to be loved, or they're worthy of it. So sometimes it's hard. I'm not saying you personally, I'm saying just generally speaking. So it might be hard to some people, but it's that love, that awareness, that mindfulness, a sense of passion of, I love, wow, the trees are great in the forest and the beach is wonderful, the water, that's that feeling that you can always go to and stir up that lovely feeling again when you do your work. So that really was the idea behind the exercise and how you feel within yourself, because things change all the time within us. You know, I tell you, that thing that happened to me when I was many, many years ago, I went to a nutritionist and they said, took my blood And then we're sitting, he's puts my blood on the screen, and this big cell, blood cell there, whatever, on the screen watching it. And they're all tight together. And he looked at the screen, his back was to me, and he said, "You shouldn't eat chicken, it's not good for you." And I got really upset because I kind of like chicken. And then so he goes, "I'm sorry, but you can't have it," without even looking at me. He was looking at the activity of the cell moving. And then I thought, wait a minute. And then I thought about the word love, and I didn't tell him anything. I thought, I'm going to make love. I'm just sending out the energy of love. And suddenly the cells, a clump of cells, broke open, and they individually started moving with a gold chrome around them, and they moved in a line. And it was like, oh, wow. And he said to me, without again looking at me, "The most incredible communication system we have is in it." So, and I'm, of course, teach this with the work we do, right? Mediumship. And here it is in front of me physically. But it just shows you that when you think of love, when you bring yourself to that frequency, that's who you are. You are love. Your soul is love. So you can align yourself with that again and remind yourself about that, that you are love, and with the passion, things you love to do, you're right there. You're centered. You're right there. And sometimes, Edward, maybe in your case, this might help you too. If you forget, about that. You might have photographs. Take pictures. Put pictures on the wall of these, of the forest, of the beach, you know, your loved one. You know, do that. That makes you, that stirs up that feeling within you. That's really what it's about. Recognizing that passion, recognizing the love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I've also restarted a Kundalini yoga practice that I was doing before, and I'm really amazed at how much that energy that you're talking about is there for me. You know, and going from the practice into a, you know, the half hour quiet sit, it's just,
it all, you know, just, it all comes together.
It's totally coming together. Yeah,
it's totally coming together. Yoga is great with that. I do that through Pilates. I do that, and I do that through meditation. People are saying what comes into one space, and it's fabulous. Good for you. You should also, the massage, I get massage too. And there is, what's the massage where they work in your head? You'd probably, that'd probably be very effective for you.
They work in the back. Craniosacral,
thank you. Craniosacral, have you had a craniosacral massage?
I have in the past, yeah.
That would be great for also for the Kundalini yoga, because it moves your circuitry. First time I had that, I almost blew off the table, like, whoa, because it went right to my head. But that's great too, when you're doing Kundalini yoga. I just started acupuncture. Amazing.
Yeah, me too, actually. Yeah, I really noticed the difference too.
The therapist walked in the room and goes, where are you? He didn't know who I was. He goes, where are you? My goodness, James, what is this light around you? That was some powerful experience. So whatever opens up the meridians, makes that energy flow, you know, that's really what the game is. Very good. Donna, how'd you do?
Well, I had a very interesting experience.
Tell us.
One of the things that I love to do is snow ski. And I hadn't been snow skiing in 5 years.
Wow.
So we went skiing and we were having a beautiful day, and my mom passed away in like 10 months ago. And I was going down the slope and I was thinking, wow, this is joy. I'm feeling joy again. I haven't felt joy in almost a year. This is so wonderful. And then the next thing I know, everything went black. Skis went out from under me. I landed on the side of the hill on my head, and I got a horrible concussion.
Oh, gosh.
So I went from this joy to this, but when I woke up, it knocked me out. And when I woke up, I looked up at the sky, and I thought I had died, and I was in heaven.
Wow.
And it was like, I was like, oh, my God, I'm here. I'm here. And then I saw the ski patrol, and then the toboggan came. And then, so it was so interesting, because I've been in this very altered space of consciousness, really, since that happened. It's been about 5 weeks.
Head traumas can often open up psychic parts of us. My friend had a major trauma, head trauma, and that opened her up psychically. Peter Furcos, the famous psychic in Holland, he was a house painter. He fell off the ladder, hit the ground, and that's opened up the psychic. It was amazingly. You have the joy, which is great, and that. What else do you put on your list? Is what I'm curious about.
On my list?
Yeah, your list.
Well, I love to write poetry.
Right.
I talk to my mom all the time, and she gives me downloads constantly, which has been really wonderful. I like to meditate.
Right.
I love to swim, though I haven't been able to do that. The last couple of weeks, I've started walking again. We live on the bay in Northern California, so I can look. I sit in the corner and look out the window, and I can see the whole San Francisco Bay.
So where do you live, Marin, or do you live?
No, I live in Point Richmond.
Point Richmond. Okay.
Yeah, and so I watch the Hawks, and
they have pools, indoor pools there, you know.
What did you say?
They have indoor pools there, you know.
Yeah, that's the one I go to. It's awesome, but it's shut down now. But okay. As soon as that gets February 1st, that reopens.
Right.
Photography, dinner with friends, music. Movies. I've been seeing a lot, and British television series. I love British TV.
Graham Norton.
What did you say?
Yeah, Graham Norton show.
Yeah. So I've had to do a lot of things that are more just. I've been resting a lot, sleeping a lot. That's what I need to do right now. But it was a very interesting experience. I had an NDE when I was 15,
okay.
And this was very much like that when I woke up and I was like, I'm here. You know, and I was like, no, you're not. So, interesting. But.
And who else would like to share their December experience?
I just wave.
I can wave. Anybody else? Mary or Jamie? No.
Mary, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, there we go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So
I'm taking notes, everybody. Don't worry.
Okay. You know, I learned that a lot of the things that are on my list, I get to do. So
did you forget them, you think, over the years? Forgot what makes you?
I think what I forgot was that it didn't used to be like that. Like, it used to be more of an effort to put those things in life, and now they're more naturally integrated.
Right.
So, like, creative writing, I just finished a full-length manuscript of poetry at the end of the year. That was my goal for the end of the year.
Congratulations, Mary. Very good.
And then I got to get it out into the world. And exercise. Two things that I had that to do more intentionally. One was that I've always been interested in painting, and I haven't really done it. And so I'm taking a painting class, and then
I just wrote down take a class in painting. Okay.
Yeah, I just started one, and I actually have one later tonight. So that I'm not great at it, but it's fun, and I notice it's you're so present.
Yes.
Now, when you're doing it. And the other one was to just be more present with my kids. So when I'm with them, it's not like I'm also doing laundry and also cooking. I mean, there always has to be some of that multitasking, but to actually consciously like take a chunk of time and be with them. And my oldest, both girls really love to paint. So we've been painting together, you know, in the evenings. And because
right.
Kids are so present too, you know, you're really.
Yeah, just a little interruption here. Listen to them. Make sure you take time to listen to what they say. Listen every word they say.
Please
pick up on that right away. If you're really present with them, listen.
Yes.
Good. Yep. Sounds like you're doing great. Okay. And so you can use that for your power, believe in your power, all those wonderful things.
It's interesting because I've been reading books, you know, by people who have become mediums and noticed that a lot of them in that transition to using it as a practice, they'll have something. Another artistic pursuit that comes into their life. Like this one book I was reading, she got horses and got really into like being present with the horses and taking care of the horses. And I was like, I think painting is that thing for me, like where it's sort of parallel to my mediumship development, you know?
So the energy that you were using in mediumship is creative energy. So
right.
It's the same energy for painters, for chefs, for writers, it's the same energy, Reiki. It's the same energy we're using. That creative energy is what we're using.
Yeah, it's like you're in a zone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a singer, I'm a writer, I'm a designer, I'm a gardener, I do all of it. And it's still the same energy. It's just in mediumship, I'm listening more, really. The antenna goes up, but I'm listening in just a different way. But it's that creative energy that's coming through, for sure. So it's good. And the more you get involved with that, the more you're open and passionate and loving with it. So,
perfect.
Very good. Good. Anybody else? Is it Jamie? Renee? Yes.
Robin. So Robin.
Hi, Robin.
We can't. So yeah, Robin, we can't hear you. Are you on the phone audio? You can just shake your head. You are. Okay. Is that you?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me now?
There we go. Oh, it's so interesting. You show up separately. Like you're on two areas. Okay, go ahead.
multiple people. Hello. So I wasn't able to be on the initial call, so this is my first time joining.
It's Robin. Hi, guys. Robin. Hi, Robin.
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 I'm in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay, good. I was just there 2 weeks ago. Okay.
Yeah, so I also had a challenging time thinking about the, you know, really what brought me joy. And it took me a little while. Immediately, I went to playing the piano and painting. But I found that I was feeling stressed to try and fit them into my day. And then realized it was the simplest things that brought me the most joy that I wanted to, that I was doing, but not fully present. So taking a hike and just being observant of the foothills and the life around me, connecting with my family, especially my mom, and really just being very intentional in the conversations with her and really listening to her. And same with my daughter. And then meditating. So I've really expanded the length of time that I'm meditating and realizing how often I'm not in the present moment, even with my thoughts, that I'm somewhere else, and realizing when I get to the present moment, how safe and secure I feel and whole.
And that's because the present moment is just pure love. You're present. If you're in the moment and you're in fear, you're in the past. Because you can't have fear in the present, because there is nothing, there's no fear in the present. So if you have fear, we're still living in the past, where things have not been resolved far past. That's something to look at. It sounds like mindfulness is fabulous for you. It's perfect. That exercise I talk about a lot of finding God in another person, that's something you could greatly do. Find that light, what makes them so unique in their own, find their creative energy. That every person that you meet every day is a student or a teacher. That's great for you to explore that. What can you learn from your children? What can you learn from people around you? And that's great. But the joy part is important because we have to live joyful lives. You know, joy is part of the journey. Capital J-O-U-R-N-E-Y. It's journey. But it is. And really defining joy is a secret of life, I think. Because it's not a secret, but a lot of people forget that we are joy. And it's interesting because when you start living in joy and you have this grin on your face half the time, and people say, there you go, validation. And you have this happiness, this inner happiness, and just comes out. And people are like, well, you're really a happy person, or you have such great energy, whatever they use. And it's really just because we have inner joy, our own stuff. So to have that, it's great. It's really, really great. And to bring then to share that with another person through mediumship, you're going to get the mediumship more. What's your background with mediumship, Robin?
I finished the first certification last year, and obviously then enrolled in the second. But then prior to that, most of the work that I've done is more in the psychic realm. So this has been a transition for me, mainly through when I was doing the psychic work, I realized that a lot of it, I was actually connecting in a medium way that I didn't realize. Mm-hmm. And then that's where I thought I really wanted to focus in on it more, and I actually find it a lot more fulfilling.
And so my only thing with you is I want you to be consistent with everything.
Say that one more time, sorry.
I want you to be consistent with the program. Be consistent with the exercises, be consistent. There's just dropping them back, but I'd love you to stay consistent, okay? Throughout. Okay. That'd be helpful, good. I think is that it? Anybody else want to say? Renee, do you want to say anything? No.
Just wait. Unfortunately, Renee, we can't. You have to press Renee if you want to chat. You just press *9.
Emily, I would not have known that. So thank you.
Okay.
So the next exercise I put in was really my favorite one, which is sitting in quiet for at least a half hour a day, 15 minutes, half hour, and for me that was one of the most profound changes in my mediumship when I started. Was sitting in that quiet space, and it's in the dark. I sit in a closet. I close the door and I just sit, and that's been for me great. I just love to hear about your experiences. Who would like to share? Just raise your hand. No one. I'm glad that I'll cut that exercise off next now.
All right, Mary, and then Alan.
Okay, you can hear me. Yeah, I mean it's really interesting. a couple times I have felt like I've almost channeled things or had an urge to do automatic writing. And sometimes in those cases, I've sort of sat down with some questions for spirit in my mind, and I think they were responding to those questions. And
so by now, Mary, you've said about 20 times, right?
I'm sorry?
You said about 20 times now, roughly 20 times.
Oh, I don't know how many times.
Because if you started in January.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I can't say that I've done a full half hour every single day, but
you do it every day though, right?
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I set my timer on it and I don't know where I went, but the timer suddenly goes off and I don't remember any of it.
Is there any way you can sit without a timer?
Yeah. Yeah, I can.
The only reason why is because your conscious mind is concerned about the timer going off. So I don't want that to happen. I just want you to be completely present for the spirit world in the quiet. I don't really want you thinking. I don't want you to think about downloading. I don't want you to think about automatic writing. I just want you to sit in the quiet.
Yeah. So the last few times it's been like suddenly over and I don't remember thinking. I'm sitting straight upright, so I'm not asleep, but I'm like, am I asleep? Where did I don't know where that went. Like, I don't.
What the spirit people are doing, your guides doing, they bring you different levels of consciousness.
Okay.
Levels of consciousness very slowly, and that's part of sitting in this space.
Okay.
So they have to experiment with you as far as how far they can take you, what you're ready for, how they can open you up so you can hear more, so you can sense more, maybe they can open your clairvoyance a bit. So that's really what you do. You're sitting for them. So I don't want you really to be active in that space. I just want you very passive and quiet. And that would be, it's an easy exercise, obviously.
Okay. So I don't have to, like, they're working on me even though I have no recollection of anything.
Yep. And you can, sometimes you'll feel them working on you, sometimes you'll feel people touch you, sometimes you'll feel your aura expanding or getting close, sometimes you feel heat or coldness. That's all them working on you. Sometimes you'll be conscious of them working on you, sometimes you'll feel like you're falling asleep, and then you wake up suddenly.
Okay. For sure I have dreams where I can tell that they have been working on me.
Perfect.
Since we started this.
Good.
A while ago.
Good. And this will help you later on in your mediumship for sure. Now, Mary, you do readings right now for anyone? You do readings?
I'm volunteering, you know, like, I'm not.
Good. You're doing everything the right way. I'm very thrilled with you, Mary.
Oh, good. Good. I just started my first, like, mediumship circle online today, that for the first time.
Okay.
I haven't found one in person yet, but.
Okay, but you will. You will.
Yeah.
I'm kind of practicing. Very good, Mary.
Good.
Who else? Alan, did you want to say something?
Yeah, there we go. I thought it was interesting also because, you know, there are times where it's like, do you set the intention, you know, spirit come near me? Do you just sit there and be quiet? So I tried both and it's almost a different energy I experience when if I just kind of sit there and said, all right, it's just time to be quiet. Then there's this, rejuvenation, this energy building that happens. Whereas if I ask spirit world come close to me, that I tend to be a little bit more, I find that to be a little bit more energy using and draining.
Your head that way. See, your head, you're too much in your head. You're in the conscious mind. I don't want you in the conscious mind.
Right.
I want to see passively.
Got it. And what I also find is that, you know, because I'm around noise all day, every day, it's actually kind of nice to just kind of sit and be quiet and let my mind just settle. And I try to do it, you know, in the early, you know, about now, about 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, where I'm not at school, I'm not rushing to rehearsal or anything like that, but I just have time to be quiet. And it really just opens up a sense of clarity and stillness within me.
Yes, very good. Bravo, that's exactly right. So the quiet, when you sit in the quiet is very loud.
Mm.
You'll find the quiet is very loud. Mm. And you'll find when you sit in that quiet space, it's another world, or if I could really be truthful, it's worlds within worlds within worlds. So you'll find out, it's Alice, like, you know, looking glass, it's going to that hole, you're going into different spaces, it's space, and it's great just to be observant, and, you know, remember as a soul, most of our soul self is outside the body, and a little bit is in the body, So you're connecting with all of that. So it's really nice. You'll find a lot of insight in sitting in the quiet. It's a great exercise. Good. Anybody else? And it'll affect your mediumship incredibly. You'll notice a big difference in your mediumship too.
Okay.
Are you seeing a circle, Alan, right now?
I haven't done any of the online. I work with Colby Rebel up here in LA. And so we do a little bit of stuff. It isn't the old spiritualist way of development. But it's more like activities and exercises.
You know, Colby's a very nice lady. She's not been around a long time.
Right.
And I'm gonna say this, and I don't want to say anything negative about anybody. But I will say, only because I didn't trigger you, I care about you, you're a little bit in a different space than her.
Mm.
And I want you to get within a different level there. I think you're a little bit beyond her, to tell the truth.
Well, you know, and that's something I'd be curious to know, you know, in the Los Angeles area.
You're more of a medium, you're more psychic. You're more mediumistic and you're more consistent. And that's what I want to bring out in you. I'd rather you get to something else. So yeah, where do you live? In San Francisco, LA? Where do you live?
I'm in Pasadena.
Oh, you're Pasadena. Okay. Yeah, I see. That's why with COVID. Okay. Pasadena. Let me put my thinking cap on. There's gonna be a place, I think there's a place up there for you, Pasadena. Okay. Okay, I'll think about it. We'll go back to that. I'd like you to do something different. I mean, you know, I like you, you know, the British mediums that she brings over, that she's with, they're great. You know, Chris Rue has been.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Arthur Finley this summer to spend a week with him and then a week with Lynn Probert.
I've had that. My two good friends, my two best friends. Good. Perfect. I'm not worried about you then. You're in good hands. Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Who else? Anybody else want to talk about the city in the quiet? Yeah. Yes, Edward.
Well, I've really been enjoying the half hour or so plus sitting, and I really noticed the stillness. I mean, I love the stillness. I really do. And it's, you know, it's that very, very quiet place where my thoughts actually, I'm not aware of my thoughts anymore. So I love that. I have a question for you though about the hypnagogic state between waking, sleeping, sleeping, and waking. For the past few years, I was practicing kind of slowing my entry into sleep and then slowing my exit from sleep. And what I've noticed, because it was a bit of a parallel in one of my quiet, still sits, was that I'll kind of enter that hypnagogic space, kind of open my inner eyes, and there'll be people there. And most of the time they will say something like, oh, he's aware of us. And then they kind of start talking to themselves and scrambling around. It's odd. Sometimes they pretend they're in an office building and just don't even look at me. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. But.
You know, when you start doing mediumship, and this is also, this is kind of a light trance exercise, but what you say is to be quiet. And you'll be aware of these different levels, and you'll see beings, or they'll be aware of you. And most humans, they don't expect most humans to do that. So when you're there and they see you, that's a surprise to them. That does happen. I've heard that before. Happened a couple times to me. Yep.
Okay.
Good for you. Very good. Who else? Robin, how are you doing sitting in the quiet?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, I have a very busy life like most people, so you end up quite a bit, like I was mentioning, not in the present moment. And I got up and I do it first thing in the morning, and I have found I missed it 2 days over the past since our last meeting, and I realized I felt completely different those days. And it was amazing the difference. And I said, from here on out, I have to make it a priority to start my day this way. And I also found I was picking up on symbols, and just from the other side, my grandmother communicates with me a lot. So it was amazing, just even incredibly vivid dreams and communicating. So it's really helped a lot in the past month or whatever it's been.
Good. And it'll help with your confidence too, by the way. So another byproduct that helps with your when you're in that space and you're even in the meditation space for everybody, when you're in meditative space and or you're quiet and your mind is drifting off and you're thinking about things I gotta do, always go back to your breath. Just go back to the breath. Because you gotta breathe. So go back to your breath, breathe that light all into your toes. Exhale out of the mouth. Breathe in three, count of three, out five. Actually, it's two beats out longer. So try doing that when your mind goes off. Just go back to your breath. You know, back to your breath. Good, Robin. Good job.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, Jamie. How about you, Janie? Is it Janie? How are you doing, Janie?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
I have a problem with falling asleep when I'm having my quiet time.
Why is it a problem?
Well, sitting in a chair, I'll just fall asleep.
Okay, so it's not a problem. They can work on you when you're in a sleep state. That's fine.
Okay.
You don't have to be conscious. They can work on you at different levels of consciousness. They're working with your spirit body. They're working with your etheric body, their light body. So they're working on you. So you don't have to be conscious of them working on you. If you want to lie down, you can as well. You can sit in a chair. You can lie down in a dark space. Okay. That's fine. But don't worry about sleeping. Do not worry that happens. People drift off. They'll bring you back. They will bring you back into consciousness. When they're finished working with you, they'll wake you right up.
Okay.
Back into the waking state. Have you noticed a difference that affected your life in any way since starting that?
Well, I like being in the quiet. I can spend a lot of time in quiet. It doesn't bother me.
Exactly.
So it's not really anything. I don't feel any different. No.
Okay. I think most of us here love the quiet. Good. I live in a place where the other night I went out to the backyard. I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, it is so quiet. And I have a chair. It's a non-gravity chair. And I lie there. And it is just, it's oneness. It's being with the oneness. It's great.
It is.
And Don, I'm just curious how you did with the exercise.
Yeah. So I've been meditating for 25 plus years, fairly regularly.
Okay.
The last month since I've had this head injury, I've been resting. I would say yesterday was the first day I haven't. I'm down for a half an hour to an hour and a half every afternoon.
Okay.
Sometimes it turns into a nap. Sometimes it doesn't. But it's this place of deep, deep quiet.
Okay.
And, it feels like, I kind of feel like I've been living in this quiet for a month. Like, not just for little periods of time. It's been a lot of quiet. Okay. And I've needed a lot of quiet.
Yeah,
so
recuperation. That's fine.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else want to share anything? No? We'll go ahead. The next one, is this month's exercise, which is, I thought, kind of fun. When you're sitting with a person, you're sitting in the power for a half hour, and let them describe to you how different they feel when they're sitting in the power with you. Have you tried that, any of you yet? Tried that exercise?
They haven't gotten it yet.
Oh, they haven't gotten it yet?
Yeah, we haven't sent it yet.
When are you studying this exercise now? It's great. But this next exercise is something very, very interesting. You won't find it in any other course, to generally tell you. So you're going to sit with somebody and pick somebody that is able just to sit with you, that they don't really need, they don't want to talk to dead people. They just want to sit free. Let's say you're going to sit with them because you're in an exercise. It's a development exercise that you're in. Maybe they know that you're a medium and this is one of the exercises you're doing. And all they have to do is sit with you. And really what it is you're going to be sitting in the power. So before they come to your space or before you go to their space, you're just going to sit in the power. And when they come in, you sit with them. And you'll be in the power. And let them describe to you how different they feel when they're sitting in the power with you. I would say a good 15, 20 minutes, 20 minutes or half an hour. Now, Chris Drew, I just spoke to Alan about Chris Drew, who's a medium in England. And I worked with him once in a demonstration. And we sat in the power for about, and this is how this exercise came about. Thank Chris. We sat in the power for about a half hour before we did the demonstration. And we'd never worked before, so we didn't have any expectations of each other, didn't know anything about each other with what to do with work. But I just sat, and he sat, and we sat with our eyes closed, quietly in a room, the lights were on. But I noticed immediately that the room, probably in 10 minutes, got freezing cold. And I got colder and colder, and it was just so cold. I said, Chris, why is the room so cold? And he said, well, James, this is when I first started as a medium, developing a medium, I was so insecure about having my guides come close to me that I would ask them to give me a physical manifestation that they were close with me. And this is the physical manifestation. I'll make the room freezing cold. And it was really great to be aware of that. I took that exercise, that, and then put in this exercise in that. I just want your person you're going to sit with, the person sitting across from you, let them tell you how they feel at the end. They feel any difference sitting with you? So it's, again, it's kind of a passive, but they'll be touched by the power. They'll definitely be feel that you feel this enthusiasm, a clarity, a sense of peace, a sense of happiness. That's really what they should be feeling. So again, an exploratory type of experience where you just want to see how they feel. And remember, that's a great one for you, because at the end, when you get their response about how they feel, realize when you're doing mediumship that your recipient should be feeling that way too when you're in your power. And then if you go on to platform mediumship, your audience should feel that. It should expand you down to all, every person sitting in the space of a demonstration of an audience member. So it's a good exercise. It's just a good exercise for you to see how they feel. And let's say they feel, I feel love, I felt pretty good. You know, it was good, it was nice. And then you have to say to yourself, what do I have to do to make them feel even better? What more do I have to do? What more energy do I got to bring up? What more love do I got to bring within myself? Excitement, enthusiasm should I create so they can feel it more? Just a little guidance. It's fun. It's a great exercise. So I look forward to hearing that back from you guys about that one. Now I'm going to open the screen to Hollywood Squares to questions you might have. Any questions you have? And I don't know if I'm supposed to do that, Emily, but...
Yeah, well, no, we still have a good five-ish minutes.
There's no time for me.
So any questions on any aspect of mediumship?
What you've done so far, where you want to go, what you're thinking of, what's happening, what challenges, what opportunities?
Alan, go ahead.
All right, so my question really is about spirituality and mediumship. What I've noticed is that, you know, very often the mediums that I've seen work, they often do it separated from any sort of spirituality, and it kind of leaves me, yeah, with that same kind of feeling, you know, just like, well, are they still connecting with spirit with the same intensity and the same integrity as someone who might say, okay, you know, I understand that this is working with spirit, connecting to source, God, great spirit, whatever you want to say. I guess it's more of a, what's your opinion of...
When's your birthday, Alan?
Pardon?
When's your birthday?
May 2nd.
Great. Perfect. Taurus. So, great question. I want you to write down a name of a medium. The name of the medium is... His name is Michael Mayo, M-A-Y-O. And Michael Mayo is out of Orange County. He has a group on Sunday nights. If you want to attend it, it's a development group, and it's also a trance group. He's both a teacher. He's excellent. I just did a demonstration with him. He's 32 years old.
Okay.
I'm his daddy. And funny thing is, I met him. We were doing this pilot for TV thing, which I don't think we go anywhere. But the reason why I think we did that was to meet. And I'm sitting with him, talking to him. I'm like, oh my God, he gets it. Mm-hmm. He's really speaking. He's walking his talk. He's speaking the truth. All right. You can be a great technician. You can be a great medium, great details, evidence, proof, fantastic. Doesn't necessarily mean you're spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some very well-known mediums who are not a bit spiritual.
Right.
I recently witnessed the person who's known, and what came out of their mouth was just so destructive to some of the audience members. I was like, how could they even do that? But they're not aware of that. So to me, and this is different, and Lynn's very much like this as well, and Tony is, Colby isn't, just so you know. I mean, not judging him, just he doesn't have the awareness of it. So there's just not awareness of it. Maybe Spatilla is. So that's up to you, my friend. I think it'd be very good, Alan, that you will bring in that philosophy. I'll never start a demonstration myself. Have you seen me do a demonstration ever?
Yeah, you and Mavis.
Oh, okay, great. In Long Beach?
In Long Beach, right.
Okay, so that was a little different because I'm usually, you know, I had to push up the stage at the time. But usually, you should come see me do a, you will this year maybe. I spend a good 15 minutes at least at the beginning talking to the audience about spirit, about that we are souls having an experience. To me, you have to teach your recipients. You got to teach your audience because it's an opportunity to teach spirituality in a way where you're not just going to get there and be a machine just giving out messages. You got to have each person leave that experience changed. You got to change them. You got to touch their souls. And you have to educate them. That's really important, education. And you're a teacher. You're an educator. So I expect you to do it, right? I want you to have that. That should be your goal, is to change them. The phenomena of mediumship is one thing. Mm-hmm. You have to lead up to the phenomena. What does it mean? Right. Well, how do you get there? Well, you know, you're a soul having a human experience. What does that mean? Well, you know, your soul, you choose to come back at this time as soul groups. Why do you choose certain soul groups? You go into that. What are the reasons why certain things happen to people in life? What's it like to die? What is it like at that moment? What's it like the process of communication? Why do people choose? There's so many things, you know. Life is simple. Life is a series of choices, love or fear. That's a whole 10 minutes in that.
Right.
How do you choose that? Choices that you make? Thoughts are things.
Right.
We talk about thoughts. Anything you learn from my classes, use it. Take it. It's yours. Use the philosophy for anything. But you really want your people to leave any experience, even if it's a one-on-one, you want them to leave enlightened. Mm-hmm. This is true for all of you. You want them to leave enlightened. You want them to leave a different person. Because you have a responsibility, and the responsibility is not as a medium under my tutelage, okay? It's to bring out that sense of spirituality, that sense of who they are as a soul being, having a human experience, and to treat each other with love, not fear, and to eliminate fear as best as you can in their lives, in the choices that they make, in the influences in their lives. For instance, are they a doormat that people walk on top of? Do they give away that power all the time? It's in a way for them to come to you, because I don't believe there are any accidents in life. I just don't. I think it's divine intervention.
Right, I agree.
They're meeting at that particular time for a very specific reason. And that might be for them to stop and listen and heed your words and make better choices.
Right.
2 weeks ago, I worked with Michael Mayo. We did, and I really want you to see him. I'd love for you to come to Sunday to do it. If you're going to do that, contact me. If you can, I'll meet you.
Okay.
We'll do that. What's your phone number, by the way? I'll be in Pasadena today, tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if I will. Sure. 630.
You can email it to us if you are.
All right. I don't know if I want to blast my phone number.
That's Emily. JVP support. If you want to. I can talk to you more about it. I get excited about it.
I appreciate that.
I get excited about mediumship and talking about the right thing and what people are doing. You know, a lot of mediums out there saying they're mediums and they're not mediums.
Right.
A lot of them want to do it for the wrong reasons. They want to be famous. Come on.
Right.
A lot of them snatch and grab. A lot of them are doing psychic work. They're told they're mediums, but they're more psychic than mediums. And Tyler Henry, again, great that he's out there doing it, change the world in certain ways. Unfortunately, though, I don't think he knows the difference between psychic and mediumship because his readings are all mixed. And you've got to be the best you can possibly be. So that's us to be teachers. And I get excited about that subject because you don't meet many people who know this or talk this way. And when I met Mike, I didn't find any American mediums, maybe a few, that had that sense. But when I met Michael, it was like, wow, he gets it. And Michael, of course, has studied Arthur Findlay for you, 4 years.
Yeah.
So he knows Eileen Davis and Gordon Smith, and that's who's gotten his philosophy from. And he's great. He's somebody you should definitely know. You should go to his classes. It's worth a drive. It really is. Anyway. Cool. So there is a difference. I mean, and that I think you should integrate as much as you can. Alice Bailey works, great. You know Alice Bailey works?
I don't know that word. No.
You know the New Age bookstore in Pasadena on Lake Avenue?
Oh, yeah, Alexandria, yeah.
Yeah. So there's some great books there. Whoever buys their books are great. There's some great stuff there. I would definitely go check out Alice Bailey. Check out some White Eagle books.
I have some of those.
Great. Uh-huh. Great. Arthur Finley books, On the Edge of the Etheric.
Right.
Some really good stuff. Anything with the head of Arthur Finley College. What's his name? Gordon Higginson.
Yeah.
Gordon Higginson. Good stuff. Yeah. Good. And look, ultimately, Doris Collins. You go look up Doris Collins on the YouTube. There's a picture. There's an actual video of her last public appearance on YouTube. Doris Collins, and she's fabulous. You'll love her, Capricorn lady, and she's a great clairaudient. You'll see her the spirit, and she's just so down to earth, but yet she brings the spirituality as well.
Cool.
Instead of, I can't put the two. I can't separate the two.
All right.
And most mediums in America don't know the difference, and I'm talking even at Lilydale.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's why I bring it up, because I, you know, when I see people on TV or I see demonstrations, it's very vapid of spirituality, and it just doesn't settle with me, because, you know, we're not putting on a show. It's not a production. I mean, we're dealing with spirit. We're dealing with we're bringing with the spirit world, and I think that. Like you said, they're not mutually exclusive.
And it's showing respect. It's respect for the spirit world, respect for the living people. And it's our jobs as medium to bring through the higher teachings, We've got to change people's minds. We've got to open people's minds and hearts, and opening up their minds, having them think differently, mm-hmm. So presenting them with a situation or various scenarios where they can think differently and using love instead of fear, or using forgiveness instead of hatred, looking at something from a very different perspective, to a point of view that they've never looked before. Wow, that can open someone's mind. Realizing that our thoughts affect everyone, that what you think of someone affects them immediately, that's a big deal. One of the things I talk about in my demonstration is I talk a lot about life review. When we first pass over, we have to go and look, we're aware of everything we did in our past, in this life, all the thoughts, words, and actions. For every person, and let's say we're in a bad mood and we yelled at somebody at a gasoline station.
Right. You've heard this before. Yeah.
When you get over there, you'll see how that person felt 10 times, 20 times, 30 times stronger. And if they yelled at their coworker because the energy sent them, that you're responsible for that energy and so forth. There's that rippling effect. And all of you should look up rippling effect as far as spirituality. You can Google spirituality rippling effect, because every energy, every thought you have makes an effect. Every action has a consequence, thought, word, or deed. But that's what we need to do to open people's minds up. And the phenomena mediumship should be at the end, as far as I'm concerned. They're 20 minutes into it, then there's the phenomena. Because if you just go out and give out messages, there's going to be no foundation for it. What are they going to use it for? What is that?
Right.
What's the reason why? So there's got to be that we're teachers today. We're bringing the light to people. We're enlightening them.
Right.
And I care, as you can tell. I'm very passionate and care about it. I've had mediums with you, this one. I had one medium who was teaching with me this course. Literally, I was helping these one-on-one people doing it in the readings together. And I was helping one get something. The other one helped me how she's going about it. And after I got up and, you know, walked away, this medium comes over to me and said, "Well, you really care."
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was floored. I was like, "What does that mean?" I just look at this person, I'm like, I cannot believe they even have that aware, that level of mindset that would they
right.
question. Bizarre. It's true. It's rampant in America.
Right.
People on television, they think, "Oh, I just want to get famous." I think it's all about being famous. So it's not the reason why we serve spirit. We're serving the work of service. It's serving humankind.
That's something that I've been thinking quite a bit lately, is that, you know, this work is really not, it's all about serving. It's like, how can we serve? And whether it's serving as a teacher or a doctor or a minister, whatever it is, it's about helping others to achieve a different level and hopefully a better level of their own spirituality.
Exactly.
Than when you first met them.
Exactly, service to help them to be the best they can be, the highest potential of their soul. That's why we're here. Let's not waste the time that we're given here. It's very valuable, the moments that we're given here are moments that we should make the most of, because you can affect someone's life in a very positive way. Mm-hmm. And again, the rippling effect that can change other people's lives if they interact with them. So we're here to serve. We are here to serve the other world and this world. And that's when we talk about ego, getting the ego out of the way, because the ego has nothing to do with it. Ego has nothing to do with it. When you're from the ego, where are you coming from? You're certainly not coming from serving the other world. So you're here to serve each the other world and this world. I want to just tell you guys a quick thing happened. Alan, you heard this, I think, last time. When I did my demonstration with Michael Mayo, I had a boy come through 28 years old, and he was I got a heroin overdose and had black hair. And they kept the hair, a piece of the hair. There's a tattoo in the inner forearm, other details. Seven women stood up thinking they were their sons, which in a way tells you how horrible this epidemic is, right? I'm like, oh. But, you know, a lot of them said, oh, my son had blonde hair. I said, no. Oh, my son had a tattoo on his finger. No. And they'll try, you'll find if you ever do platformer, you'll find they'll try to grab home body snatchers. They'll try to grab it because they want the information. And after all those seven women sat down, and I felt bad. And that's the worst thing the media can experience is, oh, there's not a recipient. Great. But you know what you're hearing. Finally, there was a man, a meek voice and a sweet voice on the side. Mr. Von Prague, I think you're with me. And he stood up. He said, my son, 28 years old, the name's there, died of a heroin overdose. He had a tattoo in the right forearm. I got a copy of that tattoo. All the details that came through with exactly is. He was a man that flew from Germany to visit friends that week, California. And it was on a Saturday, and he didn't know what to do that evening. And he was looking, I know James Earl Prague lives around here. Maybe he's doing something tonight. And sure enough, I was. So obviously his son was influencing to go. But it just shows you how much they're a part of our lives and how they need to get through it. They want to help us so much if we're willing to be there for them. You know, it's great work. Great work. A lot of respect. I think, any more questions? Because I think we're up for time, I think. If people have other appointments. Yes, Mary.
Thinking about platform mediumship and, you know, level three and those kinds of things, I'm not sure where I'm destined to go with all of this.
But I don't think you're ready for level three yet, Mary.
No. I know I'm not, but I just mean, is level three, I don't think I have an interest in platform mediumship.
Good.
Level
three is not just platform mediumship. It's a more intense one-on-one type of experience.
Okay.
So platform mediumship is a different, we do a whole separate class or just platform mediumship.
So there would be a place to go if I want to that's not about platform.
We're still trying to figure that one out because platform mediumship, I need to be physically with the person. I could do it over the computer to a point, but I don't feel it's right because I want to be with the person physically to point out their position. They should be standing. Where is the light in the stage? Where's the position of the microphone? Where's your recipient? How do you adjust the recipient? Where do you walk around the stage? How do you feel about going onto the stage? How do you make your contact with the person in the audience? It's a whole different thing. So we found a Hilton down here in Del Mar, California. But, you know, people have to come out sometime to do it. So we're still trying to work that one out, but we will do it. It's on our list, right, Emily?
Yes.
Yes. So we're trying to figure it out. You know, I do things the best I can because I don't want to, you know, again, I got to work for them. And it's got to be done the right way. Otherwise, it shouldn't be done. So, but enjoy mediumship too.
Yeah.
I think that, Alan, you should be in platform medium eventually.
I'd like that very much. And then I think that that's, you know, I'm also thinking about what would it be like to be serving in spiritualist church or something like that and where you can, all right, well, there you go. But I think that you're right, though. That is something that I'd like to develop and pursue.
I think you'd be a great platform medium. I mean, Lynn Probert would be great for you to learn from. You tell her I told you that.
All right.
Yeah, Lynn's great with that. We teach classes down here every year. Next year, we're not doing one the year after we will. I'll be with her in London this summer. But she's a great tutor for that. And so is Gordon Smith. And I'm good with that too. But I think you'd be very good with that. I think you're very appealing to people. I think you have that energy of being out there. I think there's a genuine interest that you show, that you have. And you got it all going on. That's good.
Cool, thanks.
Good. And it's good to see your, as everyone of all students, your development and level of interest and level of new experiences and how it's changed you. And I was like, wow. So that to me as a teacher or tutor is part of it. People get so caught up with the end result. And it's like, no, you have, it's the process, that's the experience. That's really the fun part of it. You'll get there, but first, you know what I mean?
So right.
Good for everyone. So all of you, really, that's great. Okay, Emily, anything you'd like to add?
That's it. So Mediumship 2. So you guys have your homework for February. I'll be sending that out along with this on demand. So you guys can watch this later. And you all should have gotten the link to, I gave you some extra videos, like a preview of some of the stuff in Mediumship 2 about building your power. So the course officially starts, I think it's March 6th. I'll double check. We have these dates. I'll send it out to you.
Mediumship 2 starts March 6th?
So yeah, if you're not in the Facebook group already, I will include that link as well. So stay in touch with us on there over the next month, and we'll be seeing you guys soon.
And Alan, if you want to give your phone number, you can, if you don't have it.
You can, Alan, you can send it to help at JVP School, Miss Clark.
And we'll
The problem is later, everyone on demand will see it and be like, oh, we call Alan.
Right.
Well, thank you guys. Appreciate everybody.
All right.
Thanks, Emily.
Bye.
Bye.